Good to be back with you, Lloyd. Good morning, Detroit. Next up, therapy. Oh, no, we moved on from therapy Thursday.
Yeah, we had it. You did very well.
I just want to remind you that I led into our, we're both Gen Xers, but yes. You sounded like a millennial.
Did
you?
I?
Yeah, you
did.
Oh, okay. You need to check yourself. next up, I want to welcome Jackie Charninga. I hope I said that well. All right. Automotive reporter for the Detroit Free Press, talking about easier EV charging for our automobiles. Welcome, Jackie.
Thanks for having me.
What are the biggest complaints, Jackie, that people have about electric vehicles is, you know, that charging anxiety. How significant is General Motors' new energy pass system in addressing that concern?
Well, it's not just charging anxiety, but it's figuring out how to pay once you finally find a charger. So there's so many different companies with fast and slow charging publicly, but if you're not a Tesla customer already, or if you're trying to juggle different apps in your phone, it can be a real headache. So the Energy Pass app is going to actually hopefully put everything in one place for GM customers where they can find a station, pay, everything in one space.
Jackie, how is it that we haven't standardized charging? That, you know, you have so many different vehicles with different kinds of charging, which makes it inconvenient. And when you've got, certainly during the Biden administration, kind of compelling people to embrace electric vehicles, that's one of the things that for the industry seems to make it a little bit more difficult to access the EV auto market, is when you don't have a standardized charging technology.
It's kind of similar as to why Apple had their own charger compared to the Android users. It's the idea that the automakers were developing the same technology at the same time, but competing. And some of them that had invested in battery tech earlier got a little ahead. So the North American charging standard was pretty much invented by Tesla, and it's the most efficient one. And so because they also were the fastest to get charging stations up, the other automakers, if they wanted to use them, were sort of forced to sell their customers converters so that they could use them in public. So now GM actually also announced this week that their 2027 model year vehicles are going to come standard with the classic inlets. And that's going to go a long way, but it's as to why they haven't standardized the chargers before now. It's like similar to why we have so many different auto companies. Everyone wants to make their own money and get their customers to do things their way. So
has there been any discussion at the federal level of Congress trying to create a standard for EVs so that we can kind of accelerate the adoption by consumers?
Well, the North American standard is where the industry is moving. It's the fastest and best one for customers. I think they've been more or less letting the market have its decision, making the consumer go the way that the automakers are pushing them, and without having the federal government get involved and, you know, more assistance with charging. That's sort of an administration to administration objective.
You know, Jackie, beyond the vehicles, GM is, it seems like, increasingly positioning itself as an energy company. You know, a fascinating part of this announcement is this bi-directional charging, you know, the idea that your vehicle could actually send power back to the grid of your home. How revolutionary could that become?
It would be dependent on people buying in, not just the actual EV customers, but the utility companies. There would be more of a federal standard to streamline this process needed. It's kind of complicated to participate today, which is what GM has acknowledged. But the idea that you could sell your own energy back to DTE and save money on your bill, that is going to be more and more enticing as time goes on between data centers and this extraordinary grid strain that we're already facing. Energy bills are not going down anytime soon. And with climate change potentially making it hotter every year, the idea that our air conditioners are working overtime in summer is not a surprise to most.
You know, here in the United States, we don't have as much exposure to what China's doing in the EV market. And I've had some friends that are EV enthusiasts that have shown me, you know, vehicles that we never see that China is producing. And I certainly read and hear about China wanting access to our market. How much further ahead is China, if they are ahead of us, in terms of adopting EVs, but also the technology and the vehicles they're producing as compared to what we're producing?
I mean, they're ahead for a lot of reasons. There are far more incentives for their consumers to purchase their own companies' EVs, but I think it's waning now. They're sort of reaching a saturation point. But the idea is, the more I'm hearing about Chinese automobiles, and I was in one not too long ago, they are very nice vehicles. They do not take long to charge. They're built extremely well. But I wouldn't say that there's anything in them in particular that an U.S. automaker couldn't duplicate themselves if they chose. But it's a lot of internal parts that make them cheaper to produce and a lot of great engineering that goes into quick deployment. But in terms of those articles about how it takes 5 minutes to fill up when charging and the vehicle itself looks pretty great, there's a lot of technological components that we only see in high-end luxury vehicles here. It is certainly something that would entice a U.S. buyer, even though they aren't available to them yet.
And Jackie, you know, GM's research into these sodium ion batteries, you know, we hear a lot about lithium shortages and supply chain concerns. Could these sodium ion batteries eventually, you know, help lower the cost of EVs?
It's possible, but the technology isn't that new. There's been experimentation with sodium ion for decades. The reason it hasn't been in vehicles is because the energy density that's required is lower, meaning the battery itself has to be bigger and heavier. And when you're putting it in a car, you want your battery to be small and low weight so that the car can move more efficiently and burn less energy just getting around. But the fact that GM is investing in it for energy storage is a lot different. The idea is that because an energy storage system can be put anywhere, it doesn't have to move,
right,
it can be as heavy as you want it. And Michigan has quite a lot of salt, and lithium mining is something that is not quite as energy and time efficient, and certainly not financially efficient.
Jackie Chernega is an automotive reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Jackie, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up at 7:49, we'll be joined by Bill Schuette, Bill G. Schuette. He is going to be talking about a ballot proposal to move the AG and Secretary of State to the primary ballot. We'll talk to him next at 7:49 on JR Morning.